Today on Real Radio.
Jesus has to come back to earth physically. You want to know why? There's a big hole in Bible prophecy waiting. Jesus must sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem to fulfill the promises of the Old Testament. If he doesn't, we've got the wrong Jesus. That's how important it is.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues with a series called The Name. It's a four-part series based chiefly upon Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6 is among the most quoted passages this time of year. It's a prophecy recorded more than 700 years before the birth of the divine Messiah. It also includes a partial list of his attributes, as our teacher demonstrates, in this presentation that focuses on one of them. Wonderful. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This is beautiful. The life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested or revealed to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What an awesome statement. All of that said was preempted 743 years earlier by Isaiah, and another great Christmas verse found in the Hallmark store today. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. What does the word sign mean? A wonder, miracle, a supernatural event. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, if you don't know, means God dwells with us. How great is this? It's Christmas. The greatest message in the world. And outside these walls, the world wants you to be quiet about it. Shh. I say now, I officially commence and recommend all of you to leave this place and greet everyone you can with a Merry Christmas. Just do it. Bug the world with it. Drive them crazy. Tell your kids to go to school and say the unthinkable. Merry Christmas, teacher. Merry Christmas, Mr. Principal. She said, my kid will get arrested. Ah, for a good cause, though. Can you imagine? Yeah, this kid's got a record. What is it? Well, he wished his principal a Merry Christmas. I'd like to have that on my record. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive or shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated God with us. Matthew 1:23 is connected, obviously, to Isaiah 7:14. And that's obviously connected to John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. Imagine that. God in his totality. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No one has ever seen God in his totality. By the way, the Bible says in the end, when you and I get to heaven, we will, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You'll see him. But the Bible says no one has seen, that's right, no one has seen him yet. But when you get there, you're going to see him in his totality. How's that going to happen? I don't know. Somehow, you will see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Freak out. The Christ of Christmas is wonderful this way. Mark it down, number three, because he's the transcendent God come down. He's the transcendent God. Transcendent means that he is above all and beyond all things. You saw that sunset last night? You see how clear it is this morning to see? You could see coming down from Chino Hills, I could see all the way out to the pass by Palm Springs and Beaumont area, San Jacinto, San Gregorio. Look at Arrowhead. You could see all the mountains. You could see Big Bear. You could see Saddleback Mountain. You could see all of these great locations. Looking to the west and to the north, you could see Mount Wilson and the antennas there by Pasadena. Amazing beauty. He does that in a moment. He's a transcendent God who gives us things from heaven above, and he speaks to us, and even his creation, though it be fallen, announces to us his profound nature. The next verse I'm going to give you is a profound argument as to why Jesus Christ is altogether above and beyond all others. I'm highly offended, as you are, when people say, well, Jesus is just another prophet. Have you noticed that? If you notice and visit all the other cults of the world, all the cults have regulated Jesus down to being great, but not the greatest. They've got him at parity or a little bit below their prophet or prophets or messengers. Not the Bible. No. Not true biblical Christianity. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same. What? Yesterday, today, and forever. Church, that is a declaration of the eternal transcendent God. Jesus never changes. I am so grateful. He's not going to change his mind. You need to be happy about that. Have you ever had somebody change their mind on you? Well, you know what? I've been thinking. Oh, dear. God, can you imagine? God looking at you and say, you know what? I tell you what, Jackie. I've been thinking, and he will never do that. Ever will he ever change his mind. He can't do it. He never changes. 1 Timothy 3:16, again, one of my favorite verses. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, without controversy. It means go ahead and argue, you're going to lose. Great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifested in the flesh, or was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and what? Received up into glory. Is this not the gospel message? Jesus came, God transcendent to earth, preached the gospel, showed us the way of heaven. And then when we looked at the way of heaven and said, oh my goodness, who can be saved? The announcement was nobody without my blood. And that same transcendent God yields himself to the eternal plan to go to the cross, to die on that cross for you and I. That your thoughts, your temper, your lust, or your pride, or whatever, not mine, yours. Joke, kidding. All of ours, he dies there for us to set us free. It's Christmas. Oh, it makes you just want to run up to a Christmas tree and dive right underneath it and say, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. Why not? Proverbs 30 verse 4 says, what is his name? Yah is his name. Yes, and what is his son's name? Yeshua. Yahshua, Jesus, our salvation. Christ, the Christ of Christmas, is wonderful in this great name because of this. What does wonderful speak about? That he's the Redeemer. Because he's the redeeming God come down. He's the redeeming God that has come down. Isaiah 44:6 says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Whoever the Lord of hosts is, by the way, that is Jehovah God of the Bible. Whoever he is, it goes on and says, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Old guy, super old. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. How'd he know? This guy's waiting for the Messiah to arrive. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Thus he must have known that. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, notice this, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. It's in Jesus. He's the Redeemer, which you have prepared before all or the face of all nations or peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Thank you, God. And the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be what? Spoken against. You want to get in a fight? Use the name Jesus somewhere. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Psalm 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Amazing. Awesome. Galatians 4:4, you just heard that a moment ago at the fullness of time, but look at Galatians 4:5, that he's come to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, because he's the redeeming God come down, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. That's pretty firm, isn't it? And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief, this is a reference to Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Romans chapter 1, verse 2. You guys okay? Lots of verses. We're about halfway through. Romans 1, 2. God promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. That means Jesus, through Mary, had King David's DNA in him, which, by the way, qualifies him to sit upon the throne of David. This is fun. Are you listening? Jesus has to come back to earth physically. You want to know why? There's a big hole in Bible prophecy waiting. Jesus must sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem to fulfill the promises of the Old Testament. If he doesn't, we've got the wrong Jesus. That's how important it is. Well, my church teaches me he's not coming back, but it's a symbol, it's a type. Well, good luck. He has to come back if you like it or not. And he is coming back. Read Revelation 19 later. That's for homework. It's over the top. And it goes on in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now you've got God who comes down, who's the Son, who redeems us through salvation in his blood, and he's going to go to the cross and die to be resurrected again. That's the gospel. Wow. Here we go. One more point under this. The Christ of Christmas is wonderful because he's the sacrificial God come down. The sacrificial God. When I say sacrificial, I mean that he was the one who invented the concept of salvation. God did that. You didn't think it up. I didn't think it up. Nobody thought it up. God invented it so that you and I would be saved. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. I love this verse. We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Isn't that great? Eyewitnesses. Okay, everybody, take your Bible. Pick it up. Grab it. Go to Isaiah. If you don't know where Isaiah is, you're a new Christian. And that would mean you close your Bible and open it right in the middle. And if you open it in the middle, I just opened it to Isaiah 59. I'll go a little bit to the left. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, he is our sacrificial God. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty to attract us to him. That's speaking about Jesus' prophetic physical appearance. He was not strikingly handsome. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, and yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. Notice this. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Verse 8, and by oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he is cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Verse 11, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, two on each side crucified with him. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And all God's people said, that's your Jesus, prophesied in the Bible 743 years before he was born. John 3:16 fulfills that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Luke chapter 2, 6 and Matthew 2, 1 says, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. That's what the Christmas message is supposed to be like. Not apologized for. Verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the wonder, the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem. Let us go to Micah chapter 5 verse 2, written 520 years before this night. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Matthew 2, 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. That's Christmas. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you guys ready? I'm going to give you some verses now. I'm not kidding. Are you ready? You guys ready in the back? Okay. All right, look to the screens. Just how wonderful is the name of Jesus? How wonderful is this name? Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 says that Jesus is the Almighty. But in Genesis 17, 1, it says that the Almighty is God. Okay, you ready? Here we go. John 8, 51 says that Jesus is the I Am. But Exodus 3, 14 says the I Am is God. In Acts 3:14, it says that Jesus is the Holy One. But in Isaiah 43:15, it says that the Holy One is God. In John 8:24, it says that Jesus is the I am He. But in Isaiah 43:10, it says that the I am He is God. In Revelation 22:13, it says that Jesus is the first and the last. But in Isaiah 44:6, it says that the first and the last is God. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says that Jesus is the rock. Psalm 18:31 says the rock is God. John 5:21 says that Jesus raises the dead. 1 Samuel 2:6 says that God's the one who raises the dead. And John 8:12, the Bible says that Jesus is the light. But in Isaiah 60:19, it says that God is light. In Matthew 25:31, it says that Jesus is the judge. But in Joel 3:12, it says that the God, or our God, is the judge. Colossians 1:16 says that Jesus is the creator of angels. But Psalm 148 verse 5 says that the creator of angels is God. Hebrews 1:6 says that the angels worshiped Jesus. But in Psalm 148 verse 2 it says that the angels worship God. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, the Bible says that Jesus is the one husband. But in Jeremiah 31:32, it says that the one husband is God. In Matthew 23:8, the Bible says that Jesus is the one master. But in Malachi 1:6, it says that the one master is God. In John 10:16, the Bible says Jesus is the one shepherd. But in Isaiah 40 verse 11, it says the one shepherd is God. In Acts 4:12, it says that Jesus is the one savior. But in Isaiah 45:21, it says that the one savior is God. In Luke 1:68, the Bible says that Jesus is the one redeemer. In Isaiah 41:14, the Bible says that the one redeemer is God. In Revelation 19:16, the Bible says that Jesus is the Lord of Lords. But in Deuteronomy 10:17, the Bible says the Lord of Lords is God. Philippians 2:10 says that every knee must bow to Jesus. But Isaiah 45:23 says every knee must bow before God. In John 1:3, the Bible says that Jesus is the one creator. But in Genesis 1:1, it says that the one creator is God. And in John 1:49, the Bible says Jesus is the King of Israel. But in Isaiah 44:6, the Bible says the King of Israel is God. That's why, church, in Philippians 2:9 and Acts 4, it says, therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Acts 4. Verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, explaining some of the wonderful attributes of the divine Messiah, as was prophesied in Isaiah 9:6. The name, that's the title of this five-day series delivered by Pastor Jack and that we're bringing to you this week before Christmas, which means that we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this four-part series, The Name, is a terrific study into the messianic claims, status, and attributes of the divine Messiah, which is why we're making it available to you. Visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And by the way, whether you call or click, you can find out about the few openings we have left on our upcoming Israel trip between March 21st and April the 2nd. So again, call us at 877-RR-RADIO or visit us at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.